It's the Tiltcast, episode 687, STS, or
Shooting the Shit.
And this week, guys, we talk about Slay the Spire 2, Mugenix, Diablo 4, Path of Exile 2, and Star Rupture. Stay tuned.
Shooting the Shit.
And we're back.
Woo-hoo!
It is the Tiltcast.
Wait.
It is an M-rated show. I am Nas.
Jason.
Rusty.
And the three of us, you're going to get whatever the heck we feel like. Yes. Today's very unscripted, very tired. This time change hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah. Spring forward, daylight savings time. We're saving so much time.
Yeah, we've been talking. Did I say it was an M-rated show?
I still woke up at 5 a.m.
What a loser. I almost went to bed at 5 a.m. So we've been doing a lot of really, really scripted episodes, and we wanted to, like, hang loose. This is how we normally, 6 months ago, this is how we did it all the time.
Yeah.
And I think we need this really badly.
We do. There's some benefit to having a little bit of scripting, but man, I'll tell you what, it starts to get monotonous quick. So
it does.
Well, we really want to have fun. That's kind of the thing. You know, this is a gaming tech-ish, podcast. And I like to keep it that way. I don't want to think about shit.
Well, I'm with you. You know, it's funny. We were talking about time change. Like, so if we don't talk about ourselves nearly as much as we used to, but I do a lot of photos for bands live. And so when I got back late last night, and me and my girlfriend were playing games, and speaking of games, right, this is very game related. Slay the Spire 2 came out this week. I remember telling you guys in our group chat, like, hey, Slay the Spire 2 is out in early access. But it's one of those games that just adds stuff to a roguelite. So basically it makes no sense to not start playing it right away, which I promptly have. I was showing her. I was like, have you heard about this? And she's like, no. She's like, you've talked about it a little bit. She's like, let's play it. I was like, okay. So I was like, she's like, is it co-op? I was like, it's a card game. We can just pass controller back and forth like every event. She's like, perfect. We started at midnight. We did two runs with who's the dagger lady? I forgot. Dauntless or something like that.
I don't know. I haven't played it yet.
Dagger lady. Dagger lady's still in it from the first game. Similar mechanics, right? The poison build or the shiv build, those types of things, right?
Yeah. Shiv builds are freaking amazing.
So, like, after one fight, she was pretty locked in as to how to play that character. So, like I said, we did two runs. So we're playing it. We lose. And she's like, oh, so what happens? It's like, well, we got all these unlocks. She's like, oh, well, let's do another run. I was like, all right, we'll do that. 250 rolls around and we die. She's like, oh, man, it is pretty late. And then we look at the clock again. It says 3:50 a.m. I was like, oh, shit. It's daylight savings time. She's like, it's daylight savings. She's like, oh my God. Oh my God. It's almost 4 a.m. And I had picked her up too. So I had to take her home. So it was like,
Oh shit.
Yeah.
That time change happens right at 2 o'clock and you're like, okay, now it's, it's like 1:59:03.
Yeah. I wasn't looking at it. Right. And so we look and take her home. She didn't live crazy far away. I can get back home till like 4:30 in the morning. And, like, last night it was, like, Silent Hill outside. I know you guys weren't awake. And, well, Rusty, you don't live here anymore. But, like, there were, like, spotty fog about 20 feet above the ground. And so it looked like an alien invasion outside. And then, of course, we found out that – well, I found this out. She was telling me that the streetlights in Tulsa, that a big chunk of them had been robbed of copper. And that was the reason why they were off. And they were more off than usual last night as I was driving her home. And so a horror movie outside. But yeah, like Slay the Spire 2 is really good. It's just as good as the first one.
You lost a lot of sleep to it.
I did. And then I set like 11 alarms for 9 this morning, which had been so that I could get up and start editing photos before we did the podcast. And I've just barely started. And then we started the podcast. So like here we are, and me on very little sleep and having to go. I can say this. If you've ever heard of them, I'm shooting pictures of Killer's Confession tonight, but it's at a show 2 hours away. So I'm like telling the boys here, like, hey guys, we need to do this now. I gotta get ready for this. I gotta go shoot photos for this band tonight. So
I remember you doing Killer's Confession. It was last year sometime, right? And that's the guys with the really, really intricate masks.
Yeah. And I got guest listed on this one. I did so good on that one. They used my photos for like 3 months.
Nice.
So pretty easy to figure out what my tag is if you follow them at all, because makes sense. But you'll probably see photos on my – or see – if you follow them at all, you'll see my stuff here very shortly, because I plan on flipping a photo tonight, and then I took tomorrow off to finish their job. But, nice. And I may be possibly doing them more this year, which is really fun. They're on my business card. Like, that's how well that those guys have done me. I've just – yep, this is – I'm one of the guys. If they're in Oklahoma now, I think I'm one of the guys.
Nice. That is – that's awesome, dude.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So – and that doesn't count the four bands I shot last night. So I've got a lot of work on my in my queue right now. And that's why, like, doing the new show thing has been kind of helpful, because I haven't played as many games. I was telling Rusty Jason that, like, I'm essentially going to be doing edits till about Friday or Saturday at this point.
Yeah.
Which means I've done a better job. I used to just edit. So before, I dated somebody pretty long distance, and I would edit while I was on the phone with her. Now I have somebody that wants to be here, and it lives pretty close to me, so that doesn't work. So I limit myself on the weekdays to editing for 2 hours at a time versus editing all night, every night until I'm done, which is crazy. But, you know, it is what it is. So game-wise, I play a lot of co-op games right now. And then once I'm out of editing mode, then I go back to single-player games that I can play. But right now, like that, and I think I talked about Mugenix a little bit. We didn't have a regular podcast. I've been playing Mugenix, too.
No. Yeah, we haven't talked about what we've been playing for a while, so yeah.
Guys all know who Ed McMillan is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Super Meat Boy, Binding of Isaac. I mean, in the, you know, 90,000-year run the show has had, I've talked about Super Meat Boy a lot when it came out. I was like, interesting art style, super hard game, really hard to beat. And then
Binding of Isaac is like the roguelike.
Yeah, and it's got, there's like, I don't know, like 10,000 iterations of that game. Not really, but like, what is there, like 10 expansions?
There's like three expansions, there's like over it feels like there's over 1,000 different items, and there's
no runs the same.
No runs the same. And you have to kind of remember what all those items do, because there's not much in the game that tells you.
No, but you kind of,
there's not,
you kind of understand the combos, but like, that weird art style and the game mechanics from Binding of Isaac are great. I know the art style is pretty gross. For some reason, that guy likes drawing pictures of poop a lot.
I think it started off as a joke, and then it just became like his thing.
So
there's piles of poop in Binding of Isaac everywhere. So
there's piles of poop in Mugenix too.
Of course.
Yeah, Mugenix is a turn-based battler, kind of like Final Fantasy Tactics with some Slay the Spire mechanics. And what I mean by that is you got choices on a path every time you do a map, and then you need to fight a turn-based battle in there. But it's not card-based. It's just it has that path choice thing, which I think – there's a lot of games that have started using that since Slay the Spire 1 of like the path, and you make this choice and it's a battle, or this choice is like a random item or a chest or whatever, right?
Was that Slay the Spire that did that first, or is, I think there was a couple other games that did that, because I remember FTL did that too.
Oh yeah, you're right. FTL's probably the first one that did the branching path thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of games have adapted that. But yeah, like Mugenix does that. Basically, you have a set of cats that starts you off with, right? And they're in a house. And so you go off on your first adventure. When you come back, the cats fuck. and then out comes a baby, or they fight, and then it combines characteristics from two of the cats together, sometimes negative, mostly positive traits, sometimes mostly negative traits. And then you decide if you're going to keep them or you're going to recycle them. So you throw them down like a pipe, kind of like Super Mario. They go to different little spots, and depending on where you recycle the cats and what kind of cats you recycle, you get additional unlocks. So you breed cats to get different variations of the cats, and then you send them into the meat grinder to get stuff back from them. But if you like, so like you can skip a day, and then that'll cause the cats to breed. But also you got to clean up their little house because they start taking dumps everywhere. And then you take them out, you throw them in a box, and then the box means that you're going out on an adventure. And they all have, they all look pretty crazy looking, like the more you mutate them, and the more, like if you get several mutated cats together, right, after a while, like they produce more mutated cats. But they can only go on one run. So like once they've been through a run, they're done, but they can still breed. So that's how that game loop works, is which is why it's called mugenics, because you're trying to breed the perfect cat. Pretty crazy. It's very Ed McMillan. Like the art style is kind of gross, right? All these cats look really crazy and like off. Everything's really hand drawn. The music's pretty good too, honestly. And then the powers the cats get is pretty great. Like you get items kind of like Binding of Isaac, right? And you assign them to different cats, and then they get like a collar, and the collar assigns their archetypes. So they could be like a mage or a tank, melee, a thief, or like a ranged DPS kind of stuff. You kind of align those collars with what cats have the best stats. Like there's a lot of math going on behind the scenes. I've played that off and on a lot in the last few weeks. Like it's been my jam.
It seems like it would be your jam. It's basically, you know, the turn-based part of that makes total sense for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I saw it and I was like, oh man, I might pick that up, but I've been kind of bouncing around, between games, and I just cannot land right now. I'm in that one of those moods where I just like can't land on a game. And it's a really weird time to try to land on a game, too.
Yeah.
There's a couple things coming up here in the next week or two that is going to steal all of my time. I know it's going to steal all of my time. So, the game I'm most looking forward to coming up here is Crimson Desert.
I'm not even... I keep looking at that game because it's Black Desert, but single player, right?
Yeah, it's.
It looks like it's like a Fightin' Cowboy did some review on it, right? A lot of people have done some. There's a lot of mechanics to it, but it's also a big open world fantasy game.
Yeah,
and
it doesn't look like it could do all of the things that it says it's gonna do. It's like it feels like it overpromises, and I'm tempering my expectations because it feels like it overpromises. There's so much that you can do in a game that it's like the sea is wide but very shallow situation, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm hopeful because it looks good and it looks like it might be fun. So it is going to be a game that I'll play. That is for sure. I'm probably going to pick it up right away. It's what I'm saving my money for right now, actually. So that is, that's coming out, it's like on the 16th, I think it was. So that's next week. Yeah.
Yeah, it is next week.
So that's coming out. And the same day, Death Stranding 2 comes out on PC, like the exact same day. So between those two games, I've got about 150 hours for the game right there, I'm sure. And they're two completely different kinds of games, which is kind of nice because my brain does not like playing the same kind of game twice. Just the way things work. So it's going to be a pretty nice, beginning of summer, at least beginning of spring.
starting to warm up out there. And I'm so happy to see less white outside. I'm looking forward to being able to actually get out of the house and do some things. There's a bunch of stuff that's happening right now that's, you know, that I'm excited for. But in the meantime, I'm like, what do I do? What do I play? I've been bouncing. Like, I hit just about every game I've got in my, you know, in my thing. I've got Monster Hunter Wilds, Stardew Valley, Satisfactory. I bought Star Rupture, but I haven't started it yet.
Star Rupture, what's that?
Star Rupture is basically...
Oh, it's that survival game.
Yeah, it's like Satisfactory, but it has first-person shooting. It's got, like, the bugs from Factorio, but you're fighting them in first-person, and every so often the star actually, like, ruptures, as in the name, and, like, blankets the planet that you're on and solar radiation. And if you're not underneath a shield, or if your base is not underneath a shield, it gets fried. So there's a lot of like combat and exploring and, you know, just like being able to like protect your factory and do tower defense stuff. It's early access right now and it's not fully done, but I bought it because I know I'm going to play it, but from what I saw, it's like good bones, but not quite there yet. So I'm letting it mature a little bit. But it got me going on like, on like, hey, maybe I can play Factorio. No, I'm not good at, Factorio anymore. I used to play that game like crazy.
You're not any good.
So much has changed in that game since I played it that I can't even load my old saves.
Dang.
Yeah. So I would have to start all over again and relearn that game. And that game is like, it's a thing to learn, I'll tell you. So I'm like, okay, well, what do I play in between there? Maybe I'll play Valheim. So I played a little bit of Valheim, and I got up to the iron stage of Valheim, and I'm like, man, this is like a lot of grinding. Oh my God, is this a lot of grinding? I don't know if I really want to do this right now. So I'm like, what's Valheim but not Valheim that's a little more combat focused? Enshrouded, I can play Enshrouded. That's, that game's pretty close. So I play a little bit of Enshrouded, but it's so close to Valheim that my brain says, no.
No. Nah, I'm not gonna play that.
No. So I'm like, crap. What do I do? Maybe an ARPG will work. So I install Path of Exile for the 8th time, and I play a little bit of a Path of Exile, and by a little bit, I mean like maybe 3 hours of it. And the problem with Path of Exile and Path of Exile 2 is it's so fucking just full of different systems that are shoved in your face, and you're like,
it's overwhelming.
How do you deal with all of that information so fast? Why?
Here's all the drops, and here's all the different build varieties, and here's all the things you need to know about said build. Well, why don't you watch this 2-hour video about how to build the perfect character? Or why this one
program that basically tells you how to do everything, based off of somebody that's put thousands of hours into the game. Oh, somebody's like, you need to have this particular item. How do you get this item? You trade it from another player. But what if I don't want to trade for another player? Well, then you're just going to be fucked. And it's like, okay, I don't like this. This is a lot of like, I don't interact with this game this much. I really don't want to talk to other players. I just want to chill shit and have fun doing it. So what's an ARPG that I can kill shit and have fun doing it?
Last Epoch?
Last Epoch's like a permanent install on my game, on my, thing. And it's all right, but it's also not quite done. It's not fully done.
Still?
So it's still not fully done. It's better, it's more far along than when I played it the first time. But I'm still kind of waiting for that game to
fleet
itself before I, you know, dive into it. It is a fun game, I'll tell you that. But I've had more fun just randomly wasting time in an ARPG in Diablo 4.
Okay.
And because Diablo 4 doesn't really require super, it doesn't require you to have a absolutely dumb build to, just fuck around in that game. You know, you just go in, kill shit, and you can be done with it at any point. And I'm like, okay, let me go ahead and just do this and just fill time with, something that gives me a little bit of joy. And watching shit explode on a screen gives me a little bit of joy. So, I'm playing a little bit of Diablo 4. It's right at the end of a season. I think there's like 2 days left of the season. So there's literally nobody playing this game right now because there's, only 2 days left in the season to be able to get all the, the rewards or whatever. But there's a new expansion coming out for Diablo 4 that is that expands the story, adds two new classes, adds Paladin and adds a Warlock to the thing, and basically is going to change up how all of the different classes in the game get built. Like, they're changing the skill trees, they're changing how items work, they're adding loot filters, so they're taking some of the best things that, out of Path of Exile and kind of bringing it over to Diablo 4, and changing things up and doing a buttload of, different, quality of life updates to the game, and, different feature updates, and it's very interesting to to me to see how the Diablo series has just kind of like changed over time to kind of envelop different aspects from other ARPGs on the market and try to become like the best ARPG available. It's still, I think, one of the most approachable ARPGs.
It is, and despite what people say about it right now, like, I want to like Path of Exile 2, but if I was going to play an ARPG, I'd probably go back to Diablo.
Yeah, it's just like it's the old standby, right? It was my very first ARPG. I remember going through Tristram and, picking up Wurt's leg, and, that is my, that's like a core memory from my childhood. So I go through these games and they're weirdly nostalgic for me. So I really kind of like gravitate back to it, and I'm just having fun. I'm just going through the campaign again. It's not like I'm like racing through the game or anything. I just want something to fill in some time between now and when these big games come out here in the next couple weeks. And, then I can set it down. I don't have to jump into the expansion or the seasons. I don't feel any attachment to them. So it's like, okay, I'll set it down. I'll play these other games. I'll probably get through those games before the expansion for Diablo 4 comes out. And by that time, I'll play two different kinds of games. So my brain will reset back to ARPGs again. Thumbs up. So I've got a lot of game that I'm like bouncing between all of the games that I listed off, with the exception of maybe Stardew Valley. I can let that one slide. All of those games I want to touch on again throughout the, throughout the summer, because there's a push right at spring, and then summer is generally like filler. And then fall is where you see all the big, the big stuff come out. So,
oh yeah,
I'm thinking that we're, I'm pretty good for spring and summer. This is going to be a pretty good summertime. That, and I'm going to be outside because God, I want to be outside right now. Oh, I want to go camping. I want to go hiking.
Maybe kayaking. Oh, it's so good. Oh, I can't wait.
Speaking of outside, me and Jason experienced some pretty severe weather the other night.
Oh, dude, we did.
I was supposed to leave work, and then the tornado sirens went off. So, yes, yeah, so we had tornado weather. And, of course, like, I was the highest, you know, I don't know, it's not like we're generals, but I'm the, you know, most responsible person at work. So I had to evacuate everybody off of our main area into the side areas. And I had to wait for the tornado sirens to, like, pipe down for a little bit. So my goal, because they go off, I'd pull everybody back into, like, the middle area of the site that I'm at. And then they'd stop for, like, 2 minutes, and then they go back off. So eventually I was like, you know what, guys? I went and I grabbed, we have, like, all these, like, chips and, like, Pringles and all sorts of stuff. I grabbed this huge cart full of, like, chips and snacks and candy and all sorts of stuff, and I loaded it in, plus a bunch of, like, sodas and waters. I was like, we're camping out for a little bit, guys. I'm going to wait for this stuff to quit. And I was supposed to have gotten out, like, if I had left 10 minutes earlier, I wouldn't have had that issue. I stayed there for, like, 2 hours until the next ranking person or supervisor was there. I was like, all right, so you know the drill at this point. Do you know how to handle this? And they're like, yeah. But it was annoying. And then I was like, all right, no big deal, right? And we have these TVs at work. So I was playing the weather on the TVs in these two rooms so we could just watch it together. I was like, you know, got out some, had like big bags of like pre-done popcorn. I was like, you guys want popcorn? We watch the weather. So we did. So then I'm going home, but we had like two tornadoes at a touchdown at that point. And I was like, man, my windshield wipers suck. So I got a new car, but, you know, I haven't changed the wipers yet. I was like, I'm just going to go change the wipers. Like, I can barely see out of my windshield. I pull up to an AutoZone close to my house and tell the guy, he's like, are you here for wipers too? He's like, yeah, buddy. I was like, I've never changed them on this car before, though. Can you help me out real quick? So he says, yeah. So we grabbed the wipers. I was going to get like some cheaper ones. He's like, you should get the expensive ones, these Rain-X ones, because they have like hydrophobic stuff on them. And he's like, they work really well, but it's going to suck on the cost. So it's like, F it, let's do it. So he grabs, they spent $70 on wiper blades. However.
Oh my God.
Yep.
However,
those things are magic.
And here's the crazy thing. As soon as we walk outside, tornado siren sounds. Bro goes into hustle mode. It's raining sideways. He puts these on my car while it's raining sideways. And just a kid, like, he couldn't have been like older than like 22. I was like, I cannot thank you enough. He's like, yeah, but you should get the hell out of here. I was like, you should go in and lock the doors. He's like, all right. So I hear that. My mom's blowing up my phone. I'm telling my mom, like, don't worry about it. And I'm driving in this stuff. However, those things are so good. Like, even a low, like, they're wiping every hint of water off. It's like I'm just looking out into the open. Like, it's even easier to look out of the windshield than it is for me to stick my head out, because there's no water. Even it's like the water is just running away. Like, they're so good. I was like, well, I can drive in this. I could see if a tornado was apparently where I was driving, and I'm not going to say where I'm at, but Jason, where you were talking, I went that direction to go home because it was that AutoZone over next to that Quick Trip in the town that I'm close to.
Oh, yeah.
That was how I had to go home to avoid street flooding to get to my house. So it was like blowing sideways while I'm driving in that with my brand new Challenger. And I get home and pull in and like haul ass, close the garage door. And my house is shaking. And you guys were texting me. My house was shaking. And then transformers are blowing out. And I was like, it's the end. Like, you could hear like this, like the cannon. It sounds like cannon shots, right? And flashes of light lighting up my entire house. And it's like three or four of those go off. And I'm in the laundry room with my dog in a blanket. And she's like flipping out. I'm just, because you could feel it. It felt like we're in the dryer. My house is shaking. I hear stuff hit my roof. And I found out it was the chimney cap that hit my roof. So I thought maybe a limb had crashed into it. But it's just the chimney cap. But apparently it passed like, what, a mile and a half south of me?
Yes.
Definite damage. I went and looked at the storm track yesterday before I left to go do photos of that show. Definite damage. And there was like, what, four around town, which we never get hit. There was like four around town.
Really what it was that there was one that passed out about 6 miles west of me. west of where I'm at, that like kept cycling. So it kept cycling up and then it would touch down again, you know, 10, 15 minutes later, and it'd cycle up and touch down. And basically that one just went across the west side of like Pelleyville, south of us, all the way through Sand Springs and up into Claremore and stuff. I think even clipped Owosso, though I don't know if it was ever on the ground there.
And we had the one in North Tulsa. Then,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's it.
Oh, that was still the same one. Okay, it touched down in more than one spot. I gotcha.
Yeah, it just kept cycling. So it was the same funnel cloud, just it kept cycling up and down. And that went on for like an hour and a half. And then this other one came up out of Okmulgee County and clipping the south side of, you know, where you live and on up.
Did they ever figure out what were those EF3s?
They've not.
They're not read them
that I've seen.
I would have said at least an EF2.
There's been official rating.
Yeah. I'd have said like an EF2 or EF3, which in Oklahoma terms is not like crazy destructive. However, destructive enough to kill you, because there were south of town in Beggs, there were a couple of people that died.
Yes.
And there was
and that was. It was that tornado that
passed by me
near your area that touched down in Beggs. Yeah,
yeah. It was.
Damn.
It was. It wasn't like, you know, the F5 mile wide monster or anything. And hopefully that never happens over here. But like it was touch and go for sure. And like hearing the transformers blow, that's usually when you're like your butthole starts to pucker. You know. Because mm-hmm. that usually means something's really damn close. I didn't lose power, though, so I wonder if it was like, maybe it was lightning strikes, but nothing was down. Like
So here's the thing with transformers. Transformers control, you know, like a block or two block radius.
Yeah, I guess
power.
That.
So unless just the right transformer blows, you may never lose power.
There were definitely about three of them.
You know, there can be, you know, most of the time around this area, you'll have a transformer every two or three blocks. So you will definitely hear and see the flash from other transformers around you blowing.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
And those are super loud for like up to half a mile. So
literally like artillery.
Know, when they start going, you're going to hear it. Yeah.
And they're nice blue flashes too. They're just amazing to watch.
It was extremely loud. Like even my deaf dog was feeling it.
Damn. That's something.
It was an intense night. Like I was supposed to be editing some stuff so I could get ahead of it for yesterday's photo stuff. Just didn't do anything that day. Basically, watched the weather.
It's not the only place. You know, like you had it basically real close to you. That's, you know, but that same line of storms, you know, came up to Michigan, and that is. You know, that's pretty crazy because Michigan barely ever gets, you know, a tornado. We had one blow through two small towns, you know, down in southern Michigan, Union City and Three Rivers. Both got hit by a EF3 tornado. The same tornado, kind of like what happened there. It bounced into a couple places. But an EF3 is
Justin.
EF2, okay.
Yeah, and an EF3 is unheard of in Michigan. It's like that's big for Michigan, like, super big.
We get water spouts every once in a while, but it's like those are tiny little dust devils, basically. But this is, you know, this took out the majority of these little towns. And I think there was a couple people that, you know, that got seriously hurt. But man, Union City was flattened. There's nothing left. Like, it just, it's just devastation down there. I was floored seeing it. So, I mean, when Mother Nature, you know, gets pissed, I mean, I'll tell you, this, we just went through some of the worst winters. you know, one of the worst winters in recent history in Michigan. And then, you know, two little towns get slammed with a freak tornado and, you know, at the very beginning of a, you know, very beginning of spring. I mean, I guess you could call it that. Just barely warmed up past freezing. So it's just a very odd time. Like, weather is really messed up this point of year. Like, I don't remember seeing the storms, like the tornadic storms. It's pretty early for down there too, right?
It's so really early.
Yeah. Well, it's in a sense it's early, yes, but I mean I've lived in this area my whole life. There's no such thing as non-tornadic season. The truth of the matter is we live in just the right spot of the country where if you get enough warm, moist air from the Pacific or the Gulf, and then a cold front comes down into it, it doesn't matter what time of year it is. It's going to happen. It is a little weird for us to have warm moisture, you know, at the beginning of March, but it's not never happened before.
I guess it's possible looking back, there was a tornadic storm in December.
Yep. We've totally had that.
Yeah. So again, Mother Nature be kind of a bitch sometimes.
Yeah. Now I will say the tornado that passed west and north of me, the wild part about that one was it was wide. I think it only ever had EF2, maybe low level EF3 wind speeds, but it was a wide one. Enough that it damaged North Peoria campus of Tulsa Tech, and oh, wow. they're not having any sessions this week. So,
yeah, I was gonna say,
yeah, pretty wild.
Did you do any? We've talked a lot about news, and we did a game of the year. Have you gotten a chance to game, Jason, in like the last 2 months?
A game, not really. I've been bouncing around on Dispatch and picked up Ghost of Tsushima on sale, so I've been bouncing around on that. Amazingly, that plays pretty well on my Ally. It would probably play pretty well on Steam Deck.
Interesting.
You don't notice the lower textures on a screen that size, right? So you just turn the textures down and it goes.
That's very fair.
My wife was kind to me and let me get this new Star Trek Voyager Across the Unknown.
Is that a game?
Oh.
Yep. That's, and it's a game.
Oh, that... yeah, I saw that.
It's got mostly positive rating on Steam. It's a kind of a choose your own adventure, basically playing through the story of the TV series. I'm not very far into it yet. But you basically get to, like most choose your past story games, it, you level up crew by taking them on away missions within the context of the series' story. You do have, some RPG top down like RPG style combat between the ships, similar to like how Star Trek Online functions, where the ship has hero skills, etc. It's pretty interesting. I'll say, you know, they weren't trying to, they definitely weren't trying to be AAA or anything. Like the character models for the actual characters are pretty freaking low res.
So it takes the ship itself and does like a cross section kind of XCOM like where you're kind of where you can power up the different areas.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out how best to articulate that. Yeah, it's kind of XCOM style and in rebuilding and upgrading the ship and repairing it along the way, apparently. So it's a little bit of XCOM. It's a little bit, I don't want to say Fallout Shelter.
It does kind of have a Fallout Shelter vibe to it because, you have a, you have different, you know, rooms that do different things, and you can assign a crew to those rooms, and you've got kind of like a tech tree that you're going through. But
there's a little bit of like FTL to it also, where you're exploring the star map, hunting for all the things you need for powering the ship, rebuilding it. You know, like deuterium and
the MacGuffin material that that they used for
and dilithium for your warp core,
right?
Junk like that.
I don't remember any of that.
There was a MacGuffin material that they had to have, and I think it was deuterium. That basically powered their replicators.
Yes.
So if you didn't have it, you weren't able to replicate things, and they were doing like grow labs in the, in the shuttle bays and stuff like that to supplement. If I remember the show correctly, it's been a minute, since I watched that, but, it's a good Star Trek, story.
So I saw a lot of positive reviews for it. Granted, this is, very niche. Not very many people are gonna, want to replay basically what was a TV series and just basically make your own decisions around, critical choices from the series, and choose different paths, et cetera. But, that's essentially what it is it's letting you go back through the series and choose how the crew responds to certain things, like, do we stick with the prime directive here and not share our technology, or do we share our technology in the hopes of getting a technology that can help us home faster, etc. Because the entire premise of Star Trek Voyager was that they were lost tens of thousands of light years from Earth in the Delta Quadrant. So that show was basically basically 7 years of must get home faster.
And resource management. And,
The Borg.
Yeah, well, those resource management, which in Star Trek, you didn't really ever think about resources. Like, you never thought about what powered the replicators. You never really thought about, like, running out of, the fuel that, that has, that you have for the warp drive. It's like, you never think about running out of torpedoes, right? But they can't replicate those torpedoes. And they don't have an infinite, it's just not an infinite magic button that you could press. Like, it's things that you never thought about in Star Trek. And it's kind of an interesting, it was an interesting stab at, like, the totally unknown. I saw it. Yeah. I saw this game pop up, and I'm like, this would be great if it was a mobile game. And it feels kind of like a mobile game. But it would play
It does feel a bit mobile-ish. Yeah, but and by extension, it is playing really well on my Ally.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. It's like, it would play extremely well on your, on your mobile devices, like, an Ally or whatever, your handheld, Steam Decks or, Steam Deck likes, That's great. And there needs to be games like that. That's one of the things that I noticed, that I noted from a lot of different people on the internet, that talk about video games more often than not, probably even more often than us. They've noted that, that games have just gotten longer and more expensive over time
and more padded.
And we've lost an art. And there is an art form, for shorter, more succinct, games that have impact. These games don't require, like, multi-million-dollar budgets. It requires a good premise, 10, 15 hours worth of gameplay, but they do that one thing really well, and it fits into a niche, where you don't have to have the most expensive hardware to run it, but it still is a fun game. And you don't, and I think most of the developers that did those things got gobbled up by all of the, the EAs of the world, right? And, told to do stuff that they were never really meant to do, that they didn't really have a passion for, or that they're not good at, like telling a first-person shooter developer to make a, to make a live service game, or a RPG maker to, to do something completely outside their comfort zone, right? It's, you need to look at your devs, look at the passion that they have for their games, and then look at what you know, what the wider audience is, you know, is out there. Like, you can put out a decent game, and it doesn't have to be groundbreaking. It doesn't have to be like photorealistic graphics. It needs to be fun. And that is,
yep,
that's the thing that is, you know, missing from, you know, modern games, I think, is that these companies think that fun is the same thing as photorealism and, you know, like super realistic, you know, physics and, you know, these extra expensive systems, and you have to have the latest, greatest graphics card to be able to run it. And with all of these, it's not that. I mean, you can get games that run great on a potato, and
yep,
those games are great. So,
yep,
you know, and
the, and I think the funniest part about this game, but also kind of the, for me is a bonus, because they've, they didn't care about trying to make your, make the 3D models of the bridge crew, etc., you know, super high definition, and the character cards really look like the character cards from Star Trek Online, right, etc. The beauty shots of the ship traveling or going through warp, or, you know, any of the cinematics that show the ship from the outside, it is really extremely detailed and looks really good. Yeah. The ship-to-ship combat looks really good. So, you know, they put the focus on where Star Trek fans are really going to want to see the goods, and that is when you're looking at the ship from the outside, does right. it look like what you remember from TV, or, you know, maybe even a little bit better, because let's face it, those models weren't super high resolution back in the late 90s.
Right. Well, those models were actual models back in the 90s.
Well, some of it. Voyager was actually the series where they really kind of started using a good mix of the 3D rendering. Mm-hmm. The CGI coming into it. So, but either way, I mean, so far it's interesting. It looks like a good game. It has the elements to, to have a good, gameplay loop. I'm just not far enough into it yet to really expand on whether or not that gameplay loop really works out long term or not.
Right on. Well,
wow, I really killed that for Justin, because he's super not interested.
No, it's
not that at all. And so in the middle of this, I got two messages for tonight. So I'm taking pictures of one of the guys from Saliva's sideband. And then B, there's this kid that I've caught a couple times that I guess his dad knows a lot of like local bands. And this kid's like maybe 11 or 12. And he, all these like guys like this kid, and he knows the songs from all their, like knows all the songs. And so they'll let him like get up on stage and sing a little bit with the bands. Right. And he's got this kid's got like a grill. Right. And he wears like band t-shirts, and he kind of looks like very thug life at like 12 or 11 or 12. And his dad sends me a picture, and it's a picture of his kid with his grill, like giving this like look. And in the background, there's two girls in a hot tub holding a picture of him giving devil horns, and him just like, he's like just bawling. And he's like, will you take pictures of him again tonight? I was like, I can't do everything. Yes. He's like, will you just do it on the song that he plays? I was like, sure. It's just
wow.
If you look in there, Jason, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about.
It's amazing.
Little bro is ballin'.
That's awesome.
Anyways. Well, I think this was good. I think we need to let our hair down a little bit more.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, this
maybe this is another season. Do we just switch seasons? Is this season 18, Jason?
Sure, let's do it. I'm all right. Huh?
Do what?
We just do switch what? Seasons with the episode numbers. Are we? Is this a new start of a new season?
No.
No, we can't.
We made that change.
They don't always follow the years. The
format change back in September. So unless we really just want to say season 17 was super short.
I don't know, man. What's the number, you know, really matter?
We're anymore? Currently on 17. But
okay. I mean, I don't know. I liked having this type of conversation because it felt better, a lot better. So, oh man, let's do this. Let's do this more. That's just the way that it comes down to me.
Okay. Well, Jason, where the heck can you find us?
Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and x.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/tiltcastshorts with a Z, where you'll find our new short videos as well as the video version of this podcast. And search for us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe there, rate us, and review us, man.
All right. Find some friends of the show. We got tvgp.tv. They do fantastic things. And nobody else is around but TVGP and Pupcast picking up the pixels, right?
Wow. Yeah. Well, we've been doing it so long that
we outlasted everybody.
Yeah, we've outlasted a lot of people.
All right, y'all. Be well. We'll talk to you later.
Peace.
Peace.